History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts.
He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
And we're live. Welcome everybody here to the Lakers Lounge Podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, senior Lakers insider as well as lead the Lakers content creator for Offside. Joined on this fine Wednesday afternoon by you guys. And I'm riding solo for this episode. And I am diving into off-season content here head first with a look at the position of need here for the Lakers. That being, and when I say the position of need, I mean the position of need here for the Lakers, that being the center spot. Last year, the Lakers rolled with DeAndre Ayton. They had improved play, I thought, from Jackson Hayes. And, you know, for the most part, the return on both of those players was positive compared to what they were signed to. But that is not enough. For what the Lakers need out of that spot in this conference against some of the guys that you're going to be playing against some of these front courts that you're going to be playing against. And as a result, the Lakers are focusing very, very heavily on that position. That is something that everybody in the organization is aware that they need to beef up at. So we will talk about some of the options there. You could see them on the right. Walker Kessler, Khalil Ware, Miles Turner, Jared Allen, other centers that you want brought up, hit me with them in over the course of the show there in the chat. I'll discuss some of them and the chances that the Lakers land them. We'll talk about some of the draft prospects that the Lakers could look at with pick number 25. Interestingly enough, it looks like the draft, it might break in the Lakers' favor there. But, you know, at that spot in the draft and in the first round, there are just countless variables there. So we'll go ahead and talk about some of those guys as well, just in terms of who have been mocked to the Lakers at 25. And then over the course of the show, hit me with questions and comments and stuff like that. And I will get to as many of those at the tail end as I possibly can. As always, today's show is brought to you in video form by Prize Picks. Use that promo code HMA and make a, you know, set up an account, make a lineup of $5 of your own, and you will get $50 worth of free lineups right away. And let's see, what else? Oh, yeah. Hit that like button, hit that share button, hit that subscribe button as well. And turn on notifications both for the show and for YouTube. And if you guys are listening to the show in podcast form, please hit subscribe wherever it is that you get them, preferably on Odyssey, but anywhere works just fine for me. Let's dive on in, starting with a quick explainer on, and it's going to be a really, really quick one, on why this is the Lakers, you know, focal point of the offseason. Internally, last year, you could look at the Lakers, you know, as a basketball team when DeAndre Ayton was playing his best, and you could look at the Lakers or Jackson Hayes was playing his best, and you can look at the Lakers as a basketball team when those guys weren't playing their best, and it was night and day. And so first and foremost, in terms of like why this is such a critical position, the Lakers want to be the basketball team they were more consistently whenever DeAndre Ayton and or Jackson Hayes were playing the best basketball that they are capable of. And look, like, it was frequent enough. They got enough out of those guys to win 53 games, to win a playoff round. And, you know, it was better production from that position than they got, you know, since the Anthony Davis trade. And that, again, helped them tangibly improve as a basketball team. But the Lakers also understand that, you know, while he might be DeAndre Ayton, I would say, probably averages out to like a, you know, top 20 to 25 center in the league. Some nights he's a lot better. Some nights he's a lot worse. Jackson Hayes is probably a fairly solid backup big, depending on who your starter is. But both of those guys would, like, a good basketball team would have those guys slotted down a peg. So DeAndre Ayton ideally would be your backup, and Jackson Hayes would be your backup or third string big. And I think that's where the Lakers would like to have one or both of them going into next season. The other reason for it is you look at the West and you have obviously Wemby, who was just in the finals. You have OKC's front line of Isaiah Hartenstein and Chet Holmgren. You have Jokic. You have Utah, who, unless they aren't able to retain Walker Kessler, they're going to have a big, beefy, and versatile front court there as well. You have Zach Edey, who looked good in the moments that he was able to play last year. You have, you know, you can just go run down the list. Houston, before Steven Adams got hurt, their identity was based on that center position being able to create extra opportunities with offensive rebounding between Adams and Şengün. You have Minnesota with that really physical trio of Rudy Gobert, Naz Reid, and Julius Randle. Point being, if you're going to have a chance at getting out of the West, you have to have legitimate resources spent well on the center position. And that is something that we have not been able to see, or that we have not seen from the Lakers since Anthony Davis was on the team. And it's ironic that, you know, Anthony Davis's requests for better centers so that he could start at the four, you know, those requests going denied or unfulfilled have led to this spot where DeAndre Ayton was a huge upgrade over the center play that the Lakers had the year prior or the postseason prior. So all this said and all this understood, let's go ahead and dive on into some of these names.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE,
and I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today, and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. And let us surprise you.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/more messy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Walker Kessler. at this point, he's basically like an honorary Laker. This dude has been on the Lakers radar for multiple years now. I was just joking with somebody, you know, close to the Lakers earlier. You know, that basically I have to ask about this guy every couple of weeks. And you know, here we stand. Once again, he is in a spot with Utah where his agent doesn't feel as if Walker Kessler has been treated well enough. As a result, you're getting reports that Walker Kessler does not want to be in Utah any longer. And I think that would be a desire that could have been followed up on if Utah had one more big who was of the build that Walker Kessler is. And by that, I mean, you look at Jaren Jackson Jr., who they traded for last year. He is not good, or at least at his best, at the center spot. He usually needs a kind of defensive anchor big and a physical presence there next to him at the center spot to help with Jaren Jackson Jr.'s shortcomings as a rebounder. Same, frankly, can be said about Lauri Markkanen. Now Markkanen, I don't think there's anybody who thinks of Markkanen as a center. He's more of a 3/4, whereas Jackson is more of a 4/5. But Jackson, you could probably just kind of write in pen as a 4. You look at the guys that the Jazz might be drafting, right? If they draft an AJ Dubonsa, if they draft if they don't draft like a Darren Peterson, right? Like basically Cam Boozer is another guy who comes to mind. All of these guys who, you know, outside of Peterson, would make that front court even more cramped, but it would be cramped in a way that like Walker Kessler would still be absolutely critical to Utah's success. And so even while Walker Kessler might be frustrated by the restricted free agency process and every single restricted free agent in NBA history has been frustrated by the restricted free agent free agency process, it frankly doesn't matter. Unless, you know, Walker Kessler goes the nuclear route of, you know what, screw you guys, I'm gonna take the qualifying offer. It's just really difficult to see a pathway for him to exit Utah unless the Lakers are willing to go nuclear. And by that, I mean, they would have to basically, Rob Pelinka would have to talk to Danny and Austin Age and basically outline, look, we are going to make a $35+ million a year offer to Walker Kessler the moment that we can. And it's going to clog up your books. Or, you know, you're going to have this guy at a number that you know, probably not very comfortable with. So you risk either losing this guy for nothing in that scenario, or we work something out. We work out some kind of sign and trade that allows us to have Kessler at a more realistic number. It you know, allows you to get something in return, you know, probably draft compensation and, like, I guess Dalton Connect would be somebody who Utah would probably ask about. They're not touching Austin Reeves in the scenario that, you know, that would be a, you know, significant overpay on the Lakers' part and probably not something that Austin would be all that interested in. And, you know, so, you know, maybe you say here, you could, you know, pick whoever you want at 25. We work out a number with Walker's camp, and we all kind of move forward with Walker being traded into the Lakers cap space. Now, in this scenario, you'd be, you know, renouncing the rights to LeBron James or to Rui Hachimura. And as a result, now you have to hope that Walker Kessler makes you better without either or both of those guys on your team next year. And if not, then you have that much more work to do to, you know, fill those spots, you know, at the power forward spot. Now, one way that this could play out is the Lakers. And I saw, I think it was Brian Windhorst outlined this scenario on the Hoop Collective pod that I listened to today. I don't know when it released, but he outlined a scenario where the Lakers say to LeBron, hey, here is how these talks have gone with Utah for Walker Kessler. If you take a pay cut from the $55 million that you made last year and you sign for something in like the 20s or at $20 million a year next year, that allows us to trade for Walker Kessler into the cap space that you just helped create. And if you basically outline in explicit and tangible terms how LeBron taking that much less helps the team, then that gives you a better shot at that being something he would be interested in. And then obviously you can execute on the backside of that conversation by actually trading for Walker Kessler. I think of these scenarios, by the way, if you do that, you are hard capped at the first apron. And now you have to operate, you know, with that in mind, seeing as you just, you know, acquired a player via sign and trade.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of Dash Pass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier and timely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
So, you know, Walker Kessler, defensive anchor, skilled big, skilled finisher, big body. Does have his share of injury concerns. Now it's kind of difficult to figure out how much of those concerns are legitimate and how much of those concerns are a result. Oh, England scored. How much of those concerns are because Utah was doing all kinds of tanking, you know, en route to landing the high lottery pick that they have right now and the high lottery picks that they've accumulated over the years. And so like that might be part of the frustration that Walker Kessler's camp has here is that like, hey, my services would be far more sought after if you hadn't been benching me every fourth quarter. And if you didn't have me get elective surgeries or whatever, or, you know, however things might have played out, between Kessler and that camp. So yeah, it's a matter here of you know, who blinks and all of this stuff. One thing that the Lakers have to be wary of is the possibility of the Lakers and Rob and the Jazz and the Ainge family basically coming to terms on this thing, and then the Jazz backing out late by you know, just matching the offer that the Lakers make for Walker Kessler. It'd be very dirty business, but it's not something that Rob Pelinka hasn't been accused of in the past. So, I think that as far as like the likelihood here that Walker Kessler is a Laker next year, I would probably say it's like a 30 to 40% chance. That I'm not willing to say that it's more likely than not that Walker Kessler is a Laker next year. But I do think that it is realistic enough that this is something that we have to continue to monitor, and I will continue to monitor. And I am told, as I've been talking about here on the show, I am told that these are conversations that have been taking place between the Lakers and the Jazz, since both teams' seasons have ended, and these talks can take place. And we'll see what comes of them. But, you know, just know that a real complicating factor here is, Walker Kessler being an absolutely pivotal part of that Utah Jazz roster, and somebody who, if they trade away, Utah would immediately have to turn around and try to replace. So, maybe that means DeAndre Ayton opts in and is involved in this trade. I somehow highly doubt it. But that is the, Walker Kessler and that archetype of player is somebody who Utah, who is looking to compete next year. Kessler is somebody that they see as critical, and correctly see as critical to that competition and that contention for playoff opportunities. And so that is going to raise the price there for the Lakers, either the price of what they would have to offer Kessler to sign him away from Utah outright, or the price to land Kessler via sign and trade. So we'll see how that one plays out. All right, the next one here on the list is Khalil Ware of Miami, at least currently. And the reason I have him on my radar is because it is really, really likely that that he is included in whatever Giannis trade eventually and mercifully takes place, whenever that trade actually takes place. What the Lakers could offer, in return for Khalil Ware's services, is basically going to Milwaukee, going to Miami, and saying, look, Milwaukee, if you want to save a little bit of money here, if you want some draft compensation, maybe you don't fully believe in Khalil Ware. And I think there are reasons to be a little wary, pardon the pun, of Khalil, is that this dude who is unquestionably talented, Khalil Ware is a lot of the checks, a lot of the boxes that you would want from your center. Really good athlete, legit 7-footer, shot almost 40% from threes at decent center volume last year. This dude is like I said, his talent is not within question. And yet Eric Spoelstra clearly hated this dude and had him in and out of the rotation on a team that was trying to win. I trust in Eric Spoelstra's judge of character and judge of NBA talent, and the fact that he and Ware basically couldn't get or stay on the same page all year gives me real pause about this dude as the center of the Lakers' future. Not to mention this guy Ware, is probably still a couple of years away from playing at the level that the Lakers would need him to play at in order to viably trust him in the postseason. So if the Lakers acquire a Khalil Ware, it would probably be in somebody like Jackson Hayes's place. By the way, Jackson Hayes the other day became a citizen of Slovenia, which probably is a bit of a tell that he's going to be a Laker next season, given that he's doing this in a summer that Luka Doncic has come out and said he's not going to be playing in the FIBA Euros. So, I think that Ware is a really interesting prospect. He would be kind of a gamble who could pay off to a significant extent if he ever does, get and keep his head on right. And look, like, this is the kind of move, Khalil Ware would be the kind of buy low acquisition that the Dodgers would typically make, right? With a player who has questions of his own, and the Dodgers would pump resources into their development program to try to get the absolute most out of somebody like Ware. If Ware is ever going to figure it out, it would be on a team with Austin Reeves and with Luka Doncic and with even potentially LeBron James as well, feeding him at the rim, giving him his pick and pop three-point opportunities. Like, those are things that this guy could utilize to his benefit to a greater extent than, say the situation he was in Miami. But there are questions here. So, and also, like, if you're Milwaukee, and Pete has made this point in our Great Western Forum group chat, if you're Milwaukee, Khalil Ware is probably the exact type of player that Milwaukee would want to keep if they acquire him in a Giannis trade. In that, like, he's young, he's talented, he plays a critical position, and he's cost controlled for a little while. So, I would put Ware slightly lower as far as like possibility that he could be a Laker here moving forward. But again, because of all of the moving parts in any kind of Giannis trade situation, and given that the Lakers have enough cap space to help, both sides or the other two sides of a Giannis trade, I do think that Khalil Ware is somebody who Lakers fans should probably become acquainted with if they haven't already. All right, so the next guy on the list, somebody I've talked about here on the show a few times over, is Miles Turner. And again, in the event of that sweet, sweet Giannis trade that I hope happens in the next 5 minutes or so, in the event of Giannis getting traded, all points, signs, however, that is point to, good Lord, what a couple of saves from Croatia. But Miles Turner would probably be gone, either via that Giannis trade or shortly thereafter as Milwaukee pivots to a younger, cheaper, roster. I'm being called by the wife. She is called twice. That normally doesn't happen very often on the air. What's up? So, I think it, in the case of Turner here, because of his big contract, I think he would cost, in terms of assets going out, a lot less than Walker Kessler or Khalil Ware. I think that he, as part of being a lower value trade coming out, and because of his questions, he's coming off of a very unimpressive season there in Milwaukee, but everybody was not particularly impressive there in Milwaukee. So it's kind of hard for me to hold that too much against him.